This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all four corners of the globe, to fans everywhere, huddled over your digital listening device, expanding and enlightening your mind with every syllable coming out of this broadcast, letting you know all things new in Phil World, Texas music, oh man, the world in general, politics, sports, we span all topics in a wide, effervescent, colorful spectrum here on the podcast. How you doing, everybody? Phil Pritchett here sitting with you. We're doing something a bit different here today on the podcast. And you, the fan, the listener, is the beneficiary of this difference. We have today in our second segment the great J.W. Marshall coming in, bass player of the full band. He's going to be talking a little bit more about this live record we did in Corpus and how the curse remains. Everywhere Phil Pritchett has recorded a record has either never had Phil Pritchett back to play, closed down, or burned to the ground shortly thereafter. Ah, the train comes rolling. Can you hear that, fans? Only here at Trinidad are you going to get the train in the background. But here at the top of the hour, we are joined. We never have two guests on the show, so we are privileged today to have walking in here, preceding J.W. Marshall, our old friend, who just happened to be in the neighborhood, couldn't stay away, Blake Walker here. How you doing, Walker?
Wonderful. You know, that train reminds me of the Great College Station.
Great College Station, always just rumbling through there, carrying coal and cotton.
Love it.
Love it, man. Well, Blake Walker never passes up an opportunity to drop in and offer some opinions on things. We're just kind of talking around. Now, everybody knows Blake as a devoted father, a devoted husband, hard-working guy,
sometimes
guy who's on the road with us out there, a man who's willing and ready to show his Aggie ass to all in the world.
That's why you love me.
That's why they love him here on the podcast. Love him on the podcast. So Walker comes in today. And let me tell you what, man, this show is about many things, controversial, et cetera. And, you know, any show that you run into some guy talking, like myself, you're going to run into some topics. So, man, I try to stay away. I try to stay away from politics, stuff like this. But with Blake Walker walking in here, conservative, with his boots, with his Bible tucked under his arm.
Oh, yeah.
You know where he's coming from, you know. So he has been, and I've heard him muttering about the presidential race we have going on here. Muttering about it, muttering aloud, grumbling. He's like, who are you going to vote for? Who do we got out here? Of course, Walker, how do you describe your I'm not saying you would vote in a religious affiliation, but you certainly are maybe a suspect of some of the, well, as I said in very candid terms, I was kind of kidding. I go, man, you're stuck with a Mormon, a Muslim, and a Catholic. I'm Catholic, so I jest, and I know that you certainly don't hold anyone's religious affiliations against them, and you certainly don't really Obama the Muslim is kind of a foregone joke kind of thing, but you are not excited about the presidential election. True or false?
That's a true statement. I'm old school. First of all, I don't believe Obama's a Muslim.
I'm just getting that out there. Your evangelical Aggie, Rick Perry.
Yes.
He flamed out. That was your guy.
My guy.
That was your guy.
My dad's best friend is also Rick's best friend. Uh-huh. So there's a mutual. They know each other, and he's a good old boy.
Because I remember you on the show, Perry had come up. You're like, man, I like Perry's, you know, he's from good sound, Christian values. Aggie, come on, you got to love him.
He was also in Vietnam.
Yeah, he was a war guy.
Love it.
Right down the line. Texan, come on.
Oh, you got it.
So you've just kind of, I guess you just haven't recovered from him kind of dropping out of things. Just like, good grief.
The way
man.
That he dropped out was so embarrassing, and his debates were awful. And
yeah,
well, that was tough.
That's tough to take.
But the alternative that's sitting around is tough, man.
Yeah.
I can't. It's so hard to get behind any of these guys that are left. It's just, it's rough. And I'm going to vote conservative just because I'm a, you know.
Well, right. You're a red stater. You're down here, you know. Come on.
But there's no
surprise
there. Don't get me wrong.
No revelations from that.
But don't get me wrong.
From Blake Walker.
There's things that I'm liberal about, okay? When it comes to and this may blow your mind. But when it comes to marijuana, I'm the guy who's like, man, legalize it.
Right.
Okay? I can count on my one hand how many times I've smoked marijuana. It's not a big fan
of
mine.
Kids listening at home, listen to this.
I'm not a huge fan of it. I have friends that are. But I just don't believe in being conservative about everything.
Okay.
There are certain things I'm liberal about, and I go, okay, well, it depends on the situation.
Right.
But when it comes to who I vote for, I'm old school. And we talked about this earlier. I'm like, I want a war hero. I want a guy.
A warrior, okay.
I want a guy who's served in the military, and I'm biased. I haven't, but that's who I want to vote for. I'm old school,
man. Did you send me that link to Chris Christopherson getting that award? Was that you?
Yeah.
It was somebody else, too. I saw it. Willie presented it to Chris Christopherson, and it was an Armed Forces award, wasn't it? Or something like
he flew choppers in NAMM.
It was artists that, or it was like a, I can't remember the name of it, but it was some military,
it was a military honor.
Military
deal,
in the arts or something like that. And, of course, a lot of those guys are all over the map, you know, politically and things like that. But Christopherson got there, and he was very emotional. He said, man, I can't believe Willie said all those great things, and I'm proud of my service for my country and all this. It was a very, very moving speech. And he had, at the end of it, I thought, a very eye-opening. He just said, man, you know, we have presidents of the United States who have the power to send people off to fight. He just goes, man, I just think that if that's the case, then, you know, maybe a prerequisite for being president should be that you have served in the armed forces.
Absolutely.
And everybody really applauded. I thought that was kind of a ballsy thing to say.
I think there's
something to that.
I think that's obvious. I think
it's just kind of like, man, you know, you're going to be the commander in chief and you never went through boot camp. Come on.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's going to be hard to, I think there's something to that. I thought that was very, ballsy of him to say that. I was surprised.
I mean, after we've Iraq is wrapping up, we have Afghanistan continuing on. We have a lot of guys that have been over there that are leaders, that have won medals, that are good guys, and they all shy away from the political realm because it's a dirty game and nobody wants to get involved with it.
That's right.
And it's sad because there's some great guys that could serve our country, and they're not just going to invade everyone they dislike.
Right.
There's some great military minds that could serve in the political realm that I would love to see.
You love to see
up.
You want Eisenhower. Where's Eisenhower?
That's what I'm saying, man.
Ike.
You gotta get the hero.
And I tell you, dude, look, this is in the 40s, man.
But it is in my mind.
In your mind.
You know what I mean?
Your mind.
Like, I wish it was.
You just went Audie Murphy, man, on top of the, just taking out the machine gun nest on top of the Jeep.
You bet. If Reagan can run for president and be successful, why not Audie Murphy? He could have done it. It's crazy, you know?
Well, it'll be interesting to watch, man. It'll be interesting to watch. I think what's been fascinating, I just remember years past, I always followed the elections. I remember as a young kid being way into the Republican and Democratic debates, really watching the differences. I remember just not having a big opinion on the Republican side of things. You know, it was just, is it going to be Bob Dole or Jack Kemp? Or I'm just kind of like, I don't know. Do they disagree on anything? Yeah. I mean, it was kind of generally, you know, Reagan and Bush and Pete DuPont and people. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like, I don't know. And man, this year has been really fiery and crazy on the Republican side of things. It's been kind of a big story, of course, with the, you got your Republicans, but then your Tea Party guys can't stand Romney, and then the Romney people can't stand all the, and there's a lot of there's a lot of infighting and a real war for the soul of the Republican Party.
I think it's kind of destroyed it to an extent.
They might have trouble.
I think as conservatives, a lot of us will agree on, we don't like Obama's health care plan.
Right.
It looks like it may stall out or it may pass, but that's kind of why you vote conservative on this election, is saying, look, I don't want this health care program to go through, and I don't like what it's going to do to our country and where it's going to put health care. And so – but the problem is, if we keep fighting each other over, you know, Santorum or Romney, we're going to end up getting upset about things we shouldn't, and it comes down
to... Come on. Whoever wins is going to get all the votes in the red states. They're not going to go, we're voting for Obama instead. I mean, come on, it doesn't matter who it is. They're going to get the votes.
Or they might not vote. Or you might get to the point where you say, and I'll say this, on the evangelical Christian side, a lot of people do not want to vote for a Mormon because they don't believe that his religion aligns with theirs.
Uh-huh.
And so it scares them to have him running, and it scares them to have Obama running. Two guys that are both in a conservative evangelical Christian's mind.
Right, right.
Basically dead in the water.
Uh-huh.
So then you look at that and you go, well, if I get frustrated and my candidate doesn't make it, and it ends up being a Mormon and a Muslim, however you want to exaggerate the terms.
Right.
It may make the super conservative religious sit down and say, I give up.
I read there was a good editorial in the Wall Street Journal a few weeks, months back, people talking about, man, Ron Paul might run as a third party and he'll blow the whole thing up. He'll blow the whole thing up. And the guy writing the article made your point. He said, man, I don't think – he said, Paul's not going to run. He said the threat is from the evangelical right. If they don't get behind the Mormon or the Catholic.
That's the tough part.
He said, man, you open a chance for like Gingrich to run and maybe win. Like they said, that would be the real threat to the Republican Party. And they said, man, Gingrich might have the evangelicals enough and may have the ego to bring the whole thing crashing down around him. They said, that'd be the real concern, would be somebody like that. And really not, there's just not a big threat from somebody like Paul or somebody. And they said, man, he wouldn't do that. So it'll be interesting to watch, man, how that all unfolds. I don't think it'll come to that. I think it'll come to Romney, and he'll probably have to pick like a really, you know, kind of an old tried and true conservative running mate, and you know, hopefully bridge the gap there. And come on, man, you're just gonna stay home? You're not gonna come out and vote?
You know, in the end, yeah, I'm gonna vote. I think as a Christian, you know, to stand on my soapbox, my faith is in God. It's not in a political leader.
Why doesn't he run? Come on,
he did. It was Eisenhower. I'm just kidding. In the end, the real problem to me is none of these guys represent us. They're all these super rich
lawyers that went to Ivy League schools.
Ivy League guys. Like, yeah, it's like, look, in the end, I don't have anything in common with them, and I don't know if they're after for my best interests or what they're going to do with the national debt.
Well,
I just know what they tell me when they're
running.
Right. You know, so it's frustrating.
I think you do have, and I think this, the things that you're seeing inside the Republican Party and in the nation as a whole, I think that is a growing sense, man, and in some ways, the Occupy Wall Street thing and the Tea Party thing. If you kind of look at like what everybody's upset about, I mean, there's some big issues that are different, but there's a lot of the there's kind of a lot of common ground in that. Hey, man, everything's just being run by a few guys on the East Coast and on the West Coast, and then everybody else is just kind of in here trying to figure out, well, who do you vote for? Like, what would differences really make? Yeah. And there's kind of a growing sense that I think it'll be interesting. People forget that, you know, in the early 1900s, Teddy Roosevelt started the Bull Moose Party, and there's a long history of a new wing of a party really growing and branching off. And who knows? Maybe time's right for there to be some other kind of real libertarian kind of party. Maybe a party that's just anti-government but pro, like you say, kind of legalized drugs and just kind of get the government out of a lot of fields.
Not all drugs.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying some smaller,
not the hard drugs.
But a platform
that
crosses over the Republican Democratic thing, you know. But who knows, man? That'll remain to be seen. Maybe you'll be the candidate, Walker.
I don't think so. No, there's a that's the problem with the whole system is the system needs to be reworked. Yeah. The Senate and Congress and the way we do things needs to be redone.
Well, you know, it's been tough watching, a lot of my friends are conservative and my family there's been a lot of issues come up lately here in this term that I see them struggle with it. You know, the guy writes the book about how all the Congress guys are getting rich, the throw them all out book, Well, it just stands to reason. He goes, man, look, this Speaker of the House, you know, Dennis Hastert, the old Republican guy, he goes, he's bought all this worthless farmland. Well, guess what? 2 years later, the government needs to buy that land to build some highway. He gets like $20 million. He's just like, well, of course he knew that was going to happen. That's why he bought the land. I mean, it's like, well, is that illegal? Like, hey, it should be. Shouldn't it? And so anyway, there's a lot of that's like an argument maybe you'd hear an Occupy Wall Street guy getting upset about. But you do hear a lot of conservative, like constitutionalist guys, they're upset about it too. And so you start to see kind of some weird common ground, kind of like, look, in the end, everybody just wants freedom and to live their life. And hey, to one guy that might be growing his own marijuana and you're doing whatever. And that's hard for maybe a conservative guy to give rein on. But at some point, maybe you're like, hey, maybe that needs to be kind of more of a platform. You know, we focus on those things and move forward with a new party of some kind.
I hope that there can be some change in those areas. I watched a deal on a lobbyist who wrote a book.
Abramoff.
Is that the guy?
Jack Abramoff?
Yeah, the guy who came out on 60 Minutes.
Dude. That was a crazy deal.
I was so upset at the end. You can go get it online. You can watch it online on 60 Minutes.
I thought he gave a good, contrite interview, though. I've seen him on some show. Real eye-opening. Just how the lines get crossed. Abramoff was a big – he was in with Tom DeLay and all those Republicans. And just you start off buying these guys dinner, and then next thing you know, man, you're just with him. He was shaking money out of the Indian tribes to get votes and money and cash and just all kind of. He goes, the lines were so blurred. He goes, I went over the line. He goes, but that was the whole game. He goes, I'm not claiming innocence. He said, but just to keep up, I found myself on this treadmill. I was like, man, what are we getting into here? And he goes, I just got sucked down into the whole game, and man, landed him in jail. He was in jail for like 3 years. I don't know if he's in there that long. And golly,
his take was everybody's doing this.
It's just the game, right?
Yeah, it's everybody, right. And that's what just made me so upset. Is you kind of want to have that childlike view of, hey, people who get involved in politics really want to make a difference. And maybe they do the first couple years.
Sure.
And then they get warped into this.
Well, they get there once they get their head in the trough, there's like, man, I can just sit here and eat forever, you know, and just people give me money. You know, it's kind of like I read the Lincoln, big, huge, gigantic Lincoln biography a couple years ago. There's just a great image in there of Lincoln wanted to be a lawyer. He wanted to be a man of distinction, a leader, of course. But, you know, he's living in his home state, and you know, they just Illinois, I guess, and wasn't he from Illinois? His first representative, and they just he was just the smartest guy in town. Come on, Abe, we need to be our representative. You need to go all the way to Washington and vote, make sure they don't dam up the river, or whatever, or they, you know, that would keep their livelihoods. And he was just with a heavy heart. He wasn't just anxious. Ooh, I get to go to Washington, yay! Yeah. Back then, he took a buggy ride through the mud for like a month to get to D.C. Then he slept on a floor for weeks on end in a room with like 30 guys, other representatives. I mean, it was just hard. You know, he just goes, man, it was a service.
Yeah.
You weren't getting rich. You weren't. He just, But he looked at the faces of his constituency, and he knew he was the best guy to go and stand on the floor. Just, we got to keep the water flowing for the souls of the heartland to continue to work and produce. He was the guy, and he just kind of hung his head. He's like, God, and he went in there.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to return to that. I think that solves a lot of problems, man.
Yeah.
You just kind of go, look, you know, you go up there, you vote for a few weeks, and you come back to your day job.
Yeah.
And it's a four-year term limit, and you put somebody else in there. It's just, what's wrong with that? Isn't that what it was supposed to be?
Yes.
That's my question.
What do they call it? A couple guys proposed like a volunteer senate, a volunteer congress, where
you step out
for almost like a vacation
right.
time, a period mm-hmm. where you go and you do your service and come back to your regular job. And
right.
I don't know. It makes so much sense to me. I mean, I guess it would be hard to do if you're the actual guy doing it, but
right.
it makes a lot of sense. If it's really something you're not getting paid for, it's a volunteer thing. It's kind of like serving in your church. You just feel
right.
the need to do it. And so you go do it. Nobody pays you. You know, it's something you feel is your duty.
And that's something that really conviction. Does help the community and helps the community at large, you know, with good, honest work. But, man, well, Blake Walker, good grief. Look at this. Look at the time. Where does the time go? Talking about politics. Oh, gosh, we just offended all kinds of people with that segment.
I'm sorry.
No, probably not. Well, hey, it's a talk show. You get into it. Blake Walker, thanks for dropping by and joining us for this discussion. Now, Blake Walker's going to walk outside. He's going to just tag team. Old J.W. Marshall is going to come in here and talk about this live record we got going on. Phil Pritchett and the Full Band making its way onto CD Baby, making its way onto Amazon.com, iTunes, all taking the world by storm. More about the live record with my good friend, bass player of the Full Band, J.W. Marshall, next. Stay tuned. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Trinidad World Recording Studios, the place of hopes and dreams here in the United States. Come record here. Email me, phil@philpritchett.com, or book the Full Band. 817-733-5256. We'll make your record here. We'll come play a gig in your backyard, your festival, wherever you may be. Well, speaking of Phil Pritchett and the Full Band, as I so often do, we are honored here to have only a few people right now can hold the title of being in the Full Band. Me, the venerable Luke Ayers on drums, and our guest today, longtime bass player, a record in tenure in the Full Band. I believe it's around 5 years.
Over 5 years.
J.W. Marshall, bass player, vocalist, legal counsel, marketing consultant for Phil Pritchett and the Full Band, joins us here today. How you doing, Blue?
Doing good.
Your stage name, Blue. Remind the listeners out there how the name Blue, people say, we love you, Blue. You're my boy, Blue, at the shows. You became Blue. Do you remember?
I do. You'd have to go back many podcasts to get the original story.
Because J.W. Marshall is kind of a, sounds more like a president of the United States from like 1848 or something.
Mm-hmm. Marshall Plan.
Yeah, Martin, you know, we had, won your campaign against Martin Van Buren.
That's right.
And his running mate, J.W. Marshall. Yes, very official name. So we go to a gig. Where was that place? On that ranch?
Yeah, down near Beaumont.
Oh, that was the New Year's gig.
Yeah, yeah.
The New Year's gig.
Orange.
Yeah, the Kelly Cordova family.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, and someone famously misheard. Well, we had Stu on drums,
of course.
I said, "Man, this is Phil P2." Yeah, I said, "Man, this is Stu."
It was Kelly Cordova.
Yeah,
he gave the name.
He said, he pointed and goes, "This is Stu." Then he just points at JW and goes, "And this is Blue." And I don't know. To this day, I don't know why he said Blue.
No idea. Now, the best part of the story is my little brother was with us,
yeah.
road managing at the time.
That's right,
on
Richard Marshall.
Trip. And somehow Kelly Cordova knew my younger brother's name.
Yeah.
Richard Marshall.
But did not.
Not in the full band. Doesn't right. even live in Texas. Has never met him before. And just, this is Richard.
Richard.
Very matter of fact. And then this is Blue. Very
this
matter
is Blue.
Of fact.
And just as I'm stepping forward to go, that's, you extend your hand. Just a complete change comes over your face, your body. You just become someone else. You stick out your hand and they say, Blue, huh? And you just nod and you go, yes, that's correct. And I didn't know if you were just being nice or just being funny or just, or if you had seized this moment to alter your game and just become like this other person.
The alter ego was born.
It was just born upon that day.
New Year's.
It was a new start. And
that's
there
right.
we were. So Blue joins us here. There's no doubt about that. Oh, man. Well, it's no secret, folks. It's out there now. I don't know if it's hit iTunes yet, but you can click the little CD Baby link we got on the website. The Corpus Live record, all beautiful 18 songs on there. You can download it now, $9.99, cdbaby.com. Coming shortly to iTunes and everywhere else, but it takes a little while to get out there. So go grab it, man. Go grab it. It's out there. And when I say songs, I laugh. I laugh. You think of a song as like a 3 minutes and 10 seconds. I mean, we got Maria on there. It's like 15 minutes long.
20 minutes, yeah.
Skywalker is like 14 minutes. A couple of the old ones like that, and then a lot from the newer stuff. Bullfighter record, the High Tide in the Heartland. Mark of the Human Hand. Had a good version of Psycho Killer on there.
Yep.
And so...
But no Dirty South.
No Dirty South, yeah. Gary Floater did not release the...
The rights.
I'd send his people...
Big controversy.
Some emails. So we talked about it on stage when we went and played in Corpus the other night. Had a CD release party down there. Gary Floater, not signing off.
The crowd has kind of turned on Floater.
I know. I said, man, I said, this isn't a song we do a lot. It didn't make it on the record. We could not get the licensing. Forbidden. He was angry about it being on the Blueprint Garage deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he was very upset about the whole thing and wouldn't sign off on it.
You know, if I know Gary like I do,
yeah.
He's going to redeem himself at some point down the road.
I hope so.
Write him an email if you're out there.
Gary Floater. I think it's just gary@garyfloater.com or something like that.
Yeah.
You will get a response in a timely manner. We had a great show in Corpus. Yes, March, last weekend, went down there and played. Well, I don't know if this is public information, but it's going to be public information because you listen to this broadcast and are brought all the news first. Well, it's my sources tell me, as we had a great night at the surf club, they said, man, Phil... You know, and I've heard this a million times.
You knew what was coming.
I'm just, uh-oh, we got to start paying for our food or something here. He said, no, man, the new management or something, they're shaking up the way they do the live music.
Mm-hmm.
They're changing some of their practices.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of competition in Corpus.
Right.
There's other venues, a lot of which we've played. So, we love the surf club, so I would be very, very sad to see that not be a place Phil Pritchett and the Full Band frequent in Corpus, considering we've been there for so long. I feel like I'd
too long.
Too long, maybe, as it turns out. So, I kind of walked away. We recorded the live record just last couple months ago, so I was like, gosh, how strange. And we record this live album at the surf club,
mm-hmm.
and now it looks like we may not return. And I thought, man, isn't that interesting and funny? But then...
Hasn't this happened to the Full Band in the past?
A thought just hit me like a ton of bricks. Because if I'm honest with myself and look back, this is an ongoing Phil Pritchett curse that I have wreaked upon the clubs of this proud state. In 1997, we recorded Phil Comes Alive.
Mm-hmm.
Back before you were born, Blue.
That's right.
Back before you were born, or you're in diapers. Drawing on your mother's teeth. I was rocking the house. No, I kid. Played at Austin, Texas. This kid, some guy, opens a side street bar. New place. You know, a place where they don't discriminate by age.
Right.
You can get a beer no matter who you are. It was one of these kinds of places. I don't know if that's true or not, but we played there. We played every Wednesday night. We started really packing it in. And we said, man, we need to just capture the essence of this event.
Mm-hmm.
Live recording, then we recorded it. Then the next, I think we did actually have a CD release.
Mm-hmm.
So then we come back, and it's There's no. They just say, man, we're closed. TABC threw a guy in jail. It's over. I'm like, what? I go, we just put you guys on the map. You're on the Phil Comes Alive. You got my poster over the bar here. There's a plaque with the CD in it.
Mm-hmm.
Photos all over the wall. This is going to be the place that's going to bring my grandchildren and point to the wall and say, you see, at one point, this is what was going on.
Right.
Now they're shut down. So it's over. After the live record ensued, you're finished, Pritchett. Good luck. Now, I did not record an album at the Black Cat Lounge. We went to the Black Cat Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
Played every Wednesday night for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
To very little acclaim. But we stuck it out. And we were contemplating, we were thinking about doing a live at the Black Cat Lounge recording, when I turned up a couple weeks later, charred remains, burned to
just
the ground.
The thought of a live
just
recording
the
by
fact
Phil Pritchett.
That it was just even ballied around in the van, like, maybe we ought to record at the Black Cat Lounge. It's not going anywhere. It's a vaunted
That's where Soul
Austin
Hat.
Soul Hat had done a live record there.
Yep.
Oh, a bunch of bands did. I think Ian Moore did one, I think. And, Joe Rockhead, Bob Schneider's first band, played there a lot. All the Little Sister.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a proud company. I mean, it would give us a lot of status to have a live at the Black Cat Lounge. Burned to the ground. I mean, just charred remains.
Now, should we continue? Are there legal implications here?
I don't
know.
Are
we getting some trouble for this?
So that gave me pause. I was like, goodness gracious. So then, a few years later, I said, well, now we're going to split the difference. We're going to do Cool and Unusual Punishment, but we're not going to just heap this upon. Now, I didn't know this was going on at the time. We said, we'll do one night in Dallas at Poor David's Pub, vaunted venue, going nowhere, been there forever.
An institution.
And we're also going to do one night at the Tap in College Station, live music capital place.
Great venue.
We record at the Tap. Check out the Google video. It's packed. I don't know. There's people everywhere. Play Maria, scooting around, do the whole thing, record. And then we go to Poor David's, same deal, packed. Then I call Poor David's Pub and say, man, we'd like another gig for our CD release. They're like, you haven't heard? Haven't heard what? We're finished. What are you talking about? We're done. The rent, the landlord, they're kicking us out. I'm like, what are you talking about? We just recorded a live
Poor David himself.
So Poor David himself just has to move down on Lamar down there. Yeah. Now, he's still been there since then, but a less visible location,
less
should
prominent.
I say.
Yep.
Less prominent location. And so I was distressed. And we did play the new place a couple of times, but it was kind of hard to get people used to the idea of going down there. So I go to the good old Tap, just the vaunted venue that it is, College Station. Been there forever, Harvey Road.
Mm-hmm.
I say, well, hey, it's me, Phil. Remember me that packed out the place and did the live recording? You know, just spreading the gospel of the Tap throughout Texas music world, cemented in time. Picture over the bar. They're just like, man, you're done. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm done. We sold this place out. Man, we're just not doing music anymore.
Not that you're done. We're done. The bar's done.
The bar is done. We're not doing live music anymore. We're putting a pool table up there. I'm like, okay, I understand if you don't want the local guys with the guitars playing Rogo's on forever. I mean, Dion's going to explain that to me. That's just fine. We're Phil Pritchett, the full band. Sold it out, live album. We just want to come in and do a show. Just no, we do not want you to play. We're finished. That chapter of our life is over. The Tap is still there, I believe, but not doing music or rarely doing music. Wants nothing to do with us after our live recording. My head hung low. So as this time around, I think, man, let's and don't
so
forget.
You gave it 10
don't
years.
Forget also. Don't forget also. There is a bootleg out there of Phil Pritchett playing where? Alive and Alone, exclusively on PT2Tunes.com.
Cypress Saloon.
Recorded live. A lot of people called for a gig. We're done. What? You're finished here. We're not doing live music. We're putting in a dance floor and a disco ball, and we're going to have some cowboy dancing. Now, I have seen they have brought in like Kreger occasionally, like once a year kind of deal. We're history.
So routine music,
routine
live music,
done.
Finished.
Out. So I just think, what's the safest place to go? So we recorded Executive Surf Club. How long has it stood? It's withstood hurricanes, Blue. It's withstood, good grief, hurricane. What was that, Ike or Ivan or something down there? Good grief, recently. Been up and down the chain. People would leave the surf club to go play Brewster Street, and then they'd come crawling back on hands and knees for gigs. I was lucky I knew Manny there.
Music of all genres.
This
isn't just a Texas country place. This is everything.
This is just a smattering of Texas, man, right there on the coast. Where is it going? serving great food for all these years. I say, well, you know, we do great there. They take care of us. We get a hotel room, free food. It pays well. We get a good crowd in there. Great sound.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just memorialize. Let's do a favor to the place.
Yeah.
Memorialize this venue, this proud Pritchett venue, and etch it in the wall, you know, and just, you know, put one of my beat up Squire guitars behind the bar up
right.
there in the glass.
A little plexiglass
glass
deal.
Case. That's right.
Jean jacket.
So we record this record. We record it twice.
Twice. Maybe that should have been our first hint.
Maybe so.
The first time it was trying to tell us, don't record here.
Maybe that was our chance
to say.
This
could be peril.
Yeah, this could be it. So
we pushed it through a second time.
It didn't work in August that well. We do it in December. We get a recording. And then we release it in March. They pay me out at the end of the night. I'm like, man, I'm asking when the bust of Phil Pritchett is going to be put
in the museum
next to the cash register in the
right.
Surfer Museum.
Right.
Next to Pat McGee. I'm like, so do I need to give measurements for my head? How do y'all do? And they're just like, no, you don't understand. You're done. I'm like, what happened? What are you talking about? I just immortalized. We're finished. We're trying to sell fried shrimp and hamburgers. We love you, Phil, but please, please, you know, we're trying to run a business here. I'm like, I don't understand. They're like, well, it's not your band. It's the other. You know, they don't want to pay for the sound and all the expenses that go
right.
with having live music. So,
and I think their exact words were cutting back. That's always the first
we're cutting
step.
Back.
Yeah.
Meaning the heavy hitters like us.
Maybe not Thursdays. Maybe not bringing guys from out of town.
Right,
you know.
Right. You know, we're tired of paying for hotel rooms. We're tired of paying for, you know, all this kind of thing. So, anyway, there you have it.
So the question is
really
now.
We're really 5 for 5 on venues. We have shut down or we have stopped the live music in its tracks in these venues or just seen the place closed completely.
Or in one case, burned. The place down.
One place burned to the ground in ashes as I leave with my recording in my hand. The place is, it's kind of like a, you know, Robert Rodriguez movie, like Desperado, just Pritchett with his guitar, just walking in slow motion toward
Flames.
The camera. And just behind me, just that mushroom cloud of fire. I'm just holding a tape in my hand, just slowly walking toward the camera. You know, as Maria just plays, you know, just the place just aflame behind me.
So the question
That's
becomes,
the image I have.
Write us, email us, tell us what bar you don't like
yeah,
and you want to see just shut down forever
yeah.
or worse. We will record our next live album in
there,
that location.
Yeah. Just who gets the short end of the stick? Phil Pritchett will come here and record live in your bar. Put it on a CD, put it on iTunes, and then just watch. And then stand back.
And just watch
it. Open a beer and watch your place burn to the ground.
Just bar owners, let us know your number one competitor. Pay us extra to play a live album. We will take care of the rest.
You know, a lot of bar owners, restaurant guys resort to arson, you know? I mean,
not necessary.
Well, not necessary. Just say, look, if we could get in trouble by just burning the place down, trying to collect the insurance money. Because it is tough in the restaurant business, people, you know, because you get the inspectors and they're like, oh, man, you need to put in a new roof, new plumbing system.
Mm.
Well, you're like, well, man, not only can I not afford those repairs, I can't afford to be closed for 6 months.
Well, they're done, yeah.
I'm out of business.
I'm finished.
So you just think, well, I'll lock the door and walk away. It's been a good run. And then you think to yourself, or I can just set it on fire and get $1 million and walk away. So
Right.
It's like a guy in the bar business told me once, they go, if you ever see a bar or a restaurant burn, you can assume arson 99% of the time. You know, the other time, yeah, maybe an electrical. I mean, how many times does a house just go up because faulty wiring? I mean, that's pretty rare. I mean,
right.
it happens, but not a whole lot. These, you know, one section of a strip mall, though, will just go up in flames. You
just
know?
Like that.
Just like that. So don't resort to arson out there, bar owners. Just think, well, look, we don't want to get in trouble for that. Let's hire Phil Pritchett and the full band. We'll roll in the recording truck.
Let
nature take its course. And then when Pritchett calls and says, hey, we're going to have a CD release party, we'll inform him of the situation on our bar. The casualty that it is no more.
But go out and get live, Corpus Christi Live.
That's right.
18 colorful
tracks.
2 hours of music.
It's like 2 hours long.
Double disc if you actually had a disc form.
I burned a few discs lovingly and sold those at the Corpus show. But yeah, the easiest thing is just go to iTunes. It'll be out there if it's not already. Check that or the CD Baby link on our website. And just get it, man, $9.99. The whole dang show in order just about. Well, 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 folks, thanks for listening. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast. Thanks to J.W. Marshall for dropping by. Blue. Huge part of the full band, man. One third, in fact. And, you know, has
now
been
see,
here
for
I
5 years.
See,
I always thought I was half the full band.
Yeah.
I thought you were not in the full band. Phil Pritchard and the full band implies
I think that's right.
That Luke and I
it's
would be
separate,
the full band.
Separate entity.
When we play a duo, it's actually Phil Pritchard and half of the full band.
That's right. So half the full band is here.
Would be me.
You. That's.
Yes.
I think that's right. Half. The, that's a technicality.
Right in. If you think it's a half or a third.
No. I think you're right. Well, thank you, Blue, for your perspective. We're gonna have maybe JW stop by next week, give us some more analysis on what's going on in the world. Gosh, he's always working on just crazy stuff. Get his. I always love picking his brain, man. He's got a great mind. SMU graduate, marketing guy, a guy that's savvy in the world out there. We'll talk more to him next week. But until then, folks, have a great week. Download that new record, man. It's out there. Corpus Christi Live from Philip Pritchard and the Full Band. Email us, philip@philippritchard.com. We'll come play your party or come record at the studio. We'll see you next week, folks. Much tougher.